last week was this, that, you know, I'm finishing off the series in a different way, and it's a way that I didn't anticipate, because I had mapped out every talk, and I kind of knew where I was going. And a few weeks ago, the Lord said to me, Andrew, if people don't encounter the Holy Spirit and they don't encounter God, then it's just not going to work. What we're going to have is a form of godliness, and we're going to have no power. And that's not the life that I have for people. That's just something else. And so what I decided to do, and what I wanted to do, was last week we prayed for people, and we said, listen, if you have a need in your life this morning, if you have a need in your body, your mind, if you have a need in your heart this morning, then we're going to pray for you. If you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, then we're going to pray for you this morning. If you've never spoken in tongues, then we're going to pray for you this morning. Why? Because I absolutely believe that when you encounter God, when you encounter Jesus, whenever you don't just hear about the words, but that the Spirit of God and the Word of God applies those to your life. And I talked about that last week, so if you didn't hear me, you need to go listen to it. But I want to finish with a word that God put in my heart this week, actually. It was fresh for me, and it was. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray. So, Father, I pray this morning, just before we start, that every heart this morning, Lord, would receive something from you. I pray that every life in this place would receive something from you. I pray that, Father, that we wouldn't sit here tight-fisted, closed hands, closed heart, carrying all the burdens of life on our shoulders, and like somebody setting the most amazing drink in front of us, but we just won't pick it up and drink it in. I pray this morning that we would drink in your Holy Spirit. We would drink in your presence in our lives. I pray that this morning, God, that just even as the word comes, that there would be healing in this room, that there would be restoration in this room. I pray that there would be encouragement in this room. I pray that this morning, Father, just as we finish up on this series, but we're in the middle of our journey as a church, I pray that this morning, just for the love of God and the hope of God and the encouragement of God to overflow and to bubble over in your lives this morning, in these lives, for the people who listen online, for our friends and family members and people who aren't here this morning. But I just pray this morning for encounter moments. When we prayed a couple of weeks ago, the word that the Lord brought back to me was there needs to be an awakening in some of our lives. And we were praying a few weeks ago at Encounter that just an awakening, a spiritual awakening in your heart for God and for his purpose, and a hunger and a passion for the kingdom of God in your life again. That the Holy Spirit would awaken in you. Just a whole different way of living, a whole different way of encountering Jesus, so that we would escape and not be like the people who hear the grace of God, but it just kind of goes over our heads. But we actually live and encounter Jesus himself. You know, it's funny, our house is really old, okay? I've never had a new house. We've always had an old house. And so one of the things about old houses is they tend to require an awful lot of work. And up until a number of years ago, our plumber friends aren't here this morning, but we had the most ancient of heating systems. In fact, I went to try and change, you know, the wee panel, because it didn't work, and it was released in 1977. And for those of you, that means it's nearly as old as me. That's right, a heating thing, but it didn't work. So do you know what I had to do every morning? I had to set my alarm in our house. Now, this is not like something in the folk museum. You know the way you look at plaques of how people used to live? Well, this is North Road, East Belfast, you know what I mean? And so I used to set my alarm 18 months ago, and for about 5 o'clock in the morning, and get up freezing cold and run downstairs. And the only way we could put our oil boiler on at that stage was to click the button. And then I used to scarper back upstairs so that when the family were getting up around 6:45, there'd be at least a wee bit of heat in the place for them. I mean, absolutely crazy. And then Graham Wallace said to me, you know, there's this thing called gas that's reached East Belfast, and they have things called boilers, which do all that for you. I was like, are you serious? And he goes, yeah, and for a hugely exorbitant fee, I will put that gas in. I'm only saying that because he's not here. He's a plumber, and he's an expensive plumber, to be fair. I'm joking online. Graham Wallace, brilliant, top-notch job. And so, do you know what I found? He gave us this wee box thing with no wires or anything. It's called a thermostat. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And what we could do is we could set the thermostat up in our living room and tell it, I want 14 degrees through this house, okay? Not over 15, 14, all right? All year round. Listen, see the price of gas. Don't you be laughing. The price of gas, it's wild. So I said, how low does... Yeah. I said to Graham, how low does do these numbers go? Like, seriously, I said, can you set like a cap on it with a code? So like, you know, and he said, no, all you have to do is whenever you go out, just stick it in your bag and take it with you. They'll never switch it. Anyway, I didn't do that. But what I found was that I went to bed at night, and when I put my head in my pillow, I had told the box, I want my family getting up in the morning with heat. I want the house warm. And I put my head in the pillow, went to sleep, and it did the work for me. What a difference. What a difference. I didn't have to get up in the middle of the night and worry about the thermostat, because the thermostat was worrying about itself. And what it does, it's really clever, it continually monitors the heat in your house. And whenever the temperature drops, it clicks in, and the heat comes on, and it keeps you at the right temperature. And you sleep all night through at the right temperature, because this thing is continually monitoring what goes on in your house. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to finish off today very quickly with that. Keep that in mind, because that's the story that God gave me as we finish stronger. I have all of this, which I'm not going to do this morning, okay? Again. But I want to finish by reading one story. It's in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. The title of my talk is simply this: Stronger has been about standing in the presence of, in the grace of God. How do you stand in the grace of God? Now listen to me. Here's the simple truth. If you want to learn to stand in the grace of God, before you can stand, you have to learn to sit. Listen to me. Before you will ever stand, you have to learn to sit. What do I mean? Well, oftentimes whenever God works in your life, he does the complete opposite. Will you bring the keys down just a wee touch? Whenever God works in your life, he tends to do the opposite. So he says the way to seeing fullness in your life, in your finances, is to be a generous giver. Sometimes the steps that God asks you to take in the natural seem to be the steps that will take you away from your goal. So he says, actually, if you want to have peace in your life, if you want to have fullness in your life, he says, give and serve continually. The world says, look after yourself, look after who you are. And the Lord says, no, actually give away, be generous, and you will be filled yourself. If you want to increase, don't hoard, but give. With your finances, with your talents, with your money. God turns everything upside down. As I finish today, I want you to understand the way that you stand is by learning to sit. Let's read Luke chapter 10. See the verses up there. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken from her. In Middle Eastern culture, this story is so familiar to us, but let me say, in Middle Eastern culture, the truth is that Martha had got it right and Mary had got it wrong. Martha, these are two sisters who knew Jesus. They were close friends and family friends. And in this story, what Mary had done would actually have been considered in the day to be very rude. Because when you had a guest in your house, what you did is you served them and you provided for them. What you definitely didn't do was sit down when they were there and just listen to them. And so Martha, as we know, is the picture of people running around, serving Jesus. It's been hackneyed and talked about many, many times. And what Jesus does, I'm not going to talk about that. I just want to make two very quick points this morning, and then we're going to pray, because God can do immeasurably more than I could ever do in trying to explain it. But Jesus turns culture and convention on its head. This is not a story about serving being bad and all the rest of it. And I don't want to make it that way. I just want to make something very simple. It's a very simple point. Martha was stressed out. She was tired. She was grumpy. She was annoyed at her family, and she was annoyed with the people around her. She just doesn't have a go at her sister, which would be fair enough. She actually has a go at Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus coming into your house? And she goes, Jesus, would you flip and have a word with her? Someone's going like, Jesus, wise up. Do you not see what's going on? Like, I don't think I would do that with anybody. Never mind if the Lord was there for tea. You know what I mean? I'd be like, well. And so here's the point. When we're under pressure and we're under stress, we blame everybody except ourselves. Everybody gets it, including God. God, it's your fault. You haven't moved. You're not true to your promise. God, I'm working my tail off here. Would you ever do something for me? And actually, I found in my life, when I get tired and get stressed, everybody gets it too, even God. I might not admit it all the time, but in my heart at times I go, any chance? Has anyone ever done that with God, even this week? Looked around and God, seriously? Do you see what I'm doing here for you? Do you see how hard I'm working? And my sister is sitting on her backside. Will you do something about her? And Mary, get off your backside and give me a hand. When you're tired and when you're stressed, everybody will get it. Jesus' reaction to this one is really interesting. He says, Martha, you're worried about many things. Many things are on your mind and occupying you. Why? Why are you worried about many things? Because you've forgotten to do one thing. Do you get me? The many things became so huge to Martha because she had forgotten one thing. And that one thing was to sit at the feet of Jesus and to simply draw from him. If you want to stand, you've got to first sit. I have been so refreshed by this word this week myself. God reminded me and speaking to me and saying, Andrew, you've been doing a lot of standing. It's time to do a whole lot of sitting. Jesus actually says that's the good part, and it will never be taken away from her. You come to a God this morning who loves to give. He loves you to draw from him. He loves you to take from him. Jesus has no problem with you coming every minute of every day and sitting first and drawing all of his goodness. When Martha looked at Jesus, she saw a man who was tired. She looked at him naturally. And she saw a man who was tired. He had been ministering and traveling. So he comes into the house and she wants to look after his needs. She missed it. She missed it in the fact that actually what Jesus wanted, first of all, he said, Martha, all that stress in your life, getting cross with your husband, your wife, I'm paraphrasing now, getting cross with me, carrying all that weight, having me in your house and missing the point completely, being around me but missing me, working really hard for no return. I'm paraphrasing in and out of your life right now. All of those things are stressing you. All of those things are heavy on you because you've forgotten the one thing, and that one thing is the good part that will never be taken away from you. Sit at my feet and draw from me. This week when I felt myself getting cross and stressed, because that happens every now and again, I felt the Lord say to me, you've forgotten that one thing. Sit before you stand today. Sit before you stand and draw from me and take from me and let me fill you and let me encourage you and let me give you hope, because when you try to stand before you've sitting, you end up cross and grumpy and stressed out with everyone and everything, including God and life's hard work. Isn't that right? Such a simple word. Such a simple word. You don't rest by having ideas about God. You have rest in your life by encountering God. By encountering him. And I felt the Lord say to me this week, Andrew, draw. You know, it's possible to draw water and not drink it. I find myself many times as leading a church, going to the Word of God to draw water on your behalf and forgetting to drink it myself. I find myself, you know, and you probably find that in life, continually working for other people or trying to encourage, but forgetting to draw from God yourself. And I felt God say to some of you, here's the insight. All those many things are stressing you because you've forgotten the one thing. You're standing before you've learned how to sit. I love the story of Ruth and Naomi in the Bible. And there's a verse in Ruth 3:18, which I read many years ago. It says, "Then she," Naomi, "said, 'Sit still, my daughter, until you,'" talking about Ruth, "'will know how the matter will turn out.'" Listen, "sit still. For the man Boaz will not rest until he has concluded the matter on this day." Boaz is a type of Jesus. He's a shadow of Jesus in the Old Testament, looking forward to the new. And what it means is this: whenever you stop and you sit at the feet of Jesus, he goes to work on your behalf. He goes to work on your behalf. Isn't that a good word? And he will not conclude. God will not tire and will not stop working on your behalf as you sit and you draw from him. And so we're going to finish this series with simply that word. I have a brilliant talk here. It is a brilliant talk on the rest of God. Let me just say this, and then we're going to pray. In Hebrews 4, verses 1 to 11, it describes the rest of God, but it simply says that you can miss it. It's not a given, and you can't take it for granted. You learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that you're lazy, and you don't have responsibility, and you don't have to do anything, but it describes a place of living where you're free from striving. The word Canaan in the Old Testament, that was the promised land, katapossis in Hebrew and Greek, in Hebrew, is a place of liberation from oppression, a place of abundant blessing, fullness, the end of burdens, the end of slavery, the end of all of those things, where there's wealth and wholeness and prosperity, a land flowing with the goodness and the blessing of God for you and your children. In fact, Deuteronomy 6, 10 to 12 puts it this way: "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you didn't build, houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you didn't plant, and when you eat and when you are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and into the and out of the house of slavery." God wants you to come to an end of striving and working and living stressed with him and everybody else. To stand in the grace of God, first learn to sit. When was the last time you did that? Be honest. I found... Let me tell you how it works for me. I have gone this week, these last few weeks actually, in the mornings just drawing from God and drinking from God. And I've found just revelation from God about his grace and his love in my life. And it's going to become a teaching series, you know, as I have drawn from God and he's encouraged me. We have some mountains that we're facing in our life, Penny and I. We have some things that we need to see moved and things that need to change, but God said to me that very clearly, the incredible thing about God's grace and God's love is that the days of striving, the days of trying to work it out, the days of Jesus plus your effort are dead and buried. It is time to rest, receive, and flow again. To believe him, to receive his word, to rest in it, and to let him, like Boaz, go out, and he will not conclude that matter, and he won't rest until the matter's concluded on your behalf. So I'm not going to stand anymore in my own strength. I'm not going to stand and live with a simmering resentment, sometimes underneath the surface towards people and towards God, because things are not working out for me. I'm going to learn to sit at the feet of Christ and draw from him 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 and draw from him, because he's the God who never stops giving. Amen. I'm going to encourage you to do that this morning. What we're going to do, stand to your feet.